One of my favorite illustrations at a conference I went to was coming out of a breakout session and into the main auditorium and seeing before us this mountain of bricks and behind it three fingers and a voice saying, I am going to share with you something, and for the sake of my own health, I'm going to share it from behind these bricks. As he proceeded to read Ephesians 5, 21 to 33. I thought it was humorous. Because there was a lot of people in the room that because of sin and because of this desire we have in society to see leadership as power rather than as service, there was just an overwhelming hatred towards those words, submit. And I can understand why the guy wanted to stand behind there when he said, wives, submit to your husbands. Especially when he read, and this was really funny, is he stopped right before the word everything and gulped a few times. Submit your husbands in everything. And it was like so funny because you could hear him. I mean, this is a big auditorium, huge auditorium, and you could hear him go, everything. Because it's scary. It's countercultural. It's not the way of the world. Especially in this day and age where because of the errors, and I'll tell you what the errors are. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I'll never forget during a wedding in our church back in Saskatchewan. It was pretty full. There was a lot of people there, and there was this guy that was kind of snoring in the back. I think he kind of got used to falling asleep during the sermons. And, it's a tendency sometimes within those churches, especially because he'd always, I didn't see him very much, but they always sat where the furnace, in this old church, it used to be heated with coal, I think, and then with wood and then with coal. And so they had just one heating furnace duct coming at the back. And so if you sat back there and everybody else was cold, they would have the heat coming. And if you sat by the heater, naturally, nice warm space during a service that tends to be kind of long, it's just natural, especially at certain ages, to fall asleep. And this was a guy who got up early to take care of his cow. So, you kind of understand this. So anyways, it was so funny because he's nodding off. And all of a sudden, we read from Ephesians. And it's like on cue, he wakes up when I read the part, wives submit to your husbands, and gives his wife one of these. And I could see it because the floor was slanted still then. We changed that. But, it was like all of a sudden he got up for that one thing. And he immediately fell back to sleep and forgot that that wasn't the point of the story. You see, because of that culture, because of those people, there's an old joke that when I was growing up, it was because I was in a Norwegian church. They used to talk about it as this old Norwegian who had been married for 50 years, and his wife and him were at a event, and they were, a newly married couple there, and the wife was noticing how this young couple told each other that they love them. And she says to him, she says, well, I wish you'd tell me every once in a while that you love me. And he immediately said, I told you once, and if I change my mind, I'll tell you. I mean, that's the culture that many people grew up in. And so that's why it's so negative when you hear things like, wives submit to your husbands, because they think of submission in a negative way, not in a positive way. And I want to remind you that verse 21 said, submit to one another out of reverence, which is really the word phobos, which is fear or awe of God. Out of reverence for Christ. Right? That's where it starts. And then he deals with the easiest one. And I know this is going to be really hard for people to understand, but God is working through the Apostle Paul to turn the world upside down, to change family units, to really change the way that households live. And he says this, wives, submit to your husbands. And you might think, that's so harsh. But then if you stop there, that interesting word to be subject or submit or subordinate or whatever word, however you want to translate it, hupotassis is the word. But however you want to translate it, that word is, it sounds harsh, but it's not that harsh if you consider what he tells them, who he tells them to submit to, and what commands he gives to the person there to submit, to whom they're to submit. I mean, really, would it be so hard to submit to someone who loved you, to someone who loved you as much as themselves, and who reflected the love of Christ that Christ has for his church? Remember I shared at the beginning there, I was praying, and I'm so overwhelmed. I went to a funeral this week, and one of the pastors, I don't know, some of you might know him, Jim Ackerman. He's a pastor in Renewal in Missouri, so I've known him for a long time. Had a wonderful message at this funeral about John 3:16. And we use that so often. I use it so often. And it was just a powerful message about the whole point of that God so loved the world. To think about the fact, and then he went through the examples that God gives of how the world treats God, how they look at God. And it was just an amazing exegetical experience of a guy taking a small little verse that you see at football games, that you hear people use all the time, and opening up the whole idea of what that word love, the world, truly means. How revolutionary that is to our culture. How revolutionary it is to people who think that somehow they got to work their way to God, for God to say, I so love the world that I was willing to send my son, Jesus Christ, into the world so that you don't have to perish. You don't have to go into eternal damnation, but simply believe in the Son and you will be saved. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And so when we use the word agapo, which is the love, it's a sacrificial love. That's why we had verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If we start with the knowledge that what we're talking about here is not submitting to a power-hungry, male chauvinist, whatever words you want to use, someone who abuses someone who mistreats someone who looks at their position as a position of power rather than of responsibility. We're not talking about that. And so when you hear this passage of Scripture, my prayer is that you don't translate it from the world's position, which is a skewed position, but Lord, that you would accept it as what the Lord intends, which is for us to see it from his perspective. And what he says is, he starts out with the easiest one. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Because again, we're supposed to mutually submit to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. I wish he never said that. Because what did Christ do for his church? He died for his church. He sacrificed for his church. He did everything for his church. He's coming back to take his church home. I don't think that's a very, when he says, husbands, you're to be the head of the house just like Christ is the head of the church. I don't think that's a lot of fun. I don't see it as power. I see it as service. And then he goes on, he says, now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. I mean, I've preached on this so many times, and yet I think that sometimes because we have original sin, we have Satan trying to encourage that we miss this. That the onus isn't on the wife as much as it's on the husband. And I read an interesting book, and we went to the workshop actually on it, called Love and Respect. And the pastor is actually the pastor from Trinity Church in East Lansing. Him and his wife gave the presentation, and he wrote this book. And one thing he said is, if you want to understand today's culture, understand it this way. Women desire love. Men desire respect. Now, some people are going to say, hey, Pastor, I don't like being stereotyped. And I want to say this once and for all, I know there's exceptions, okay? I know that. So you don't have to write me emails and point those out to me. I know there's exceptions. But I have a series in my office called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. The fact that you know that answer should give you an indication that people are interested in this stuff. They're interested in knowing that there's a difference between men and women, that God created us differently and that we react differently. We do things differently. There is a difference in roles. And even though there are exceptions to this rule, I think it's fair to say that we can stereotype certain characteristics in order to make a point. And that's what I want to do today. Because in this study of love and respect, it said, women desire love and men seek respect. So when men don't love the wife, wives don't show respect, and it's like an ongoing, ever, forever, forever problem. You ever experienced this? Some of you might ask, well, what does this mean? What's the difference between love and respect? And that's a very important question. And we're going to, if we have time on one of the Wednesday family nights, we're going to make a class just on love and respect, because I think it's a wonderful study, and we're thinking of doing it as a small group, but it's hard because of the of time. But we're gonna try something. But I thought I found a good example of it. It might help you. On their 50th wedding anniversary, a couple summed up the reason for their long and happy marriage. The husband said, and I can just see him doing this too, "I have tried never to be selfish. After all, there is no I in the word marriage." And the wife immediately responded, "And for my part, I have never corrected my husband's spelling." You see love and respect here? It sounds simple, but it's difficult. She could have criticized him. She could have taken him apart for making that mistake. But it is respect. I thought, how can I explain love? And I found this neat story. Because I know I fall short on this too, because as a man, I have to be reminded, and my wife always reminds me that flowers cover a multitude of sins. I always thought it was love, but she makes the point that flowers sometimes can do that too. Jack Benny was rather shy when he was young. One day at work, he saw a young lady that greatly attracted his attention, but he was too shy to speak to her. So he went to the florist and ordered one red rose to be sent to her without any card enclosed. And every day he repeated that order. Well, after 4 days of receiving one red rose each day, the young lady went to the florist and asked who was sending them. The florist told her that it was some guy who worked where she did by the name of Jack Benny. "Yeah," she said, "I think I know who he is." So she searched out Jack and asked him why he was sending her those roses. He told her that he wanted to ask her out, and she accepted his invitation. And other dates followed the first one, but still every day she continued to receive one red rose. Then Jack and Mary got engaged, and Mary figured that the red roses would stop, but still they came. Finally, they were married, and even on the honeymoon, she continued to receive one red rose each day. But once the honeymoon was over, she figured that the roses would stop. But month after month, then year after year, all their married life, every day without fail, she received one red rose. Finally, Jack Benny died. But the very next day, here came another red rose. Thinking that maybe the florist somehow hadn't heard, she called to tell him of Jack's death and that he could now stop sending the roses. He answered, "But you don't understand. Before he died, Jack made all the arrangements. You will receive one red rose every day for the rest of your life." Now, husbands, I know what the cost of red roses are. And I'm not suggesting that you follow this example, but I think the idea is one of understanding, what is the difference between respect and love? What does it mean to love your wives as Christ loves the church? What does it mean to be the head of your house? If you read the rest of Ephesians chapter 5 into chapter 6, you will see that he continues with children and with servants. He wants to change the world by changing families. And families, no matter what people say, families are still the basic unit of our society. And marriage is to be held sacred. And marriage is between a man and a woman. I don't care what people say. The reality is that when families function this way, they are light and salt in a world that desperately needs to see an example of love and respect. And it starts in the home. Amen? Live a life worthy of your calling. Live a life of love as with Christ as our example. Wives, submit to your husbands. But husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I don't know of anyone who wouldn't want to submit to someone who loved them as Christ loved the church. It's all about love and respect. And it starts with us. It starts in our homes. We can turn the world upside down. Because Christ desperately wants us to be an example of his love and respect for each other that he desperately wants the world to understand. Let's take a moment, and I just want to invite you, if you think that maybe in your life, and I know I'm guilty of this, you haven't shown the love that you should to your spouse and to your family, and if you're in that position where you haven't shown respect in the way that you should, let's just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to remind us of those things. And let's confess those things, because the wonderful promise that we have today, and I don't know if you know this, the wonderful promise about being here today is that you're going to hear the words of forgiveness later, and you're going to experience, if you come up to the Lord's Supper, his body and blood. And with that, with all of our senses, we are promised a fresh start. You know that? Everything that we've done in the past, everything the Lord brings up in this moment of silence to our minds and we confess, are gone. When he paid the sacrifice for us, and he was that fragrant offering, that beautiful aroma before the Lord, his sacrifice of his blood, Jesus Christ won that forgiveness for us. I don't know how people can miss this, but people do. They leave this building, this place, this worship time with the same burdens and problems because Satan just keeps bringing them back up, bringing them back up, bringing them back up. I want to take some time and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to remember that as we confess these things, our Lord Jesus turns to us immediately and says, you are forgiven, period. Can we do that now? Let's take a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that all those things that came into our minds, the times when we have not shown love and we have not shown respect, O Lord, those times when we have let the world infiltrate our thoughts and minds and we've let Satan fan the flames of hurt, rejection, all those things that keep us from you. Lord, we lay them bare before you right now. And we ask, O Lord, as we do that, that you would turn our hearts and our minds to you and that we could know with certainty, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we could know that we are forgiven. We are new creatures. We have a clean slate, and we know that there's going to be consequences for our actions in the past, and those are going to take time to heal, but we know in our hearts and minds that we have a fresh start. And we can go to our brothers and sisters. We can go to those whom we have not loved and those whom we have not respected. And we can say, the Lord has given us a fresh start and we want to start over. And we can start to heal those wounds. Lord, thank you for this message today. Thank you for your word, and help us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Help us, Lord, to live a life of love, a life worthy of the calling that you have given to us as dearly loved children of God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.